It's time for Wisconsin Life. This month, a look at faith here in the state. At Oak Hill Correctional Institution south of Madison, Reverend Emmanuel Okoye offers religious services to nearly 700 inmates. A native of Nigeria, he's served as chaplain there for the past decade.
In the northeast corner of Oak Hill's 100-acre grounds is a tiny A-frame chapel. There, 5 days a week, you'll find Reverend Emmanuel Okoye working from a corner office.
Yeah, I'm from Nigeria. West Africa. When I was growing up, I do have an inclination in my heart that there's something special about my life.
The Lord is good. All the time.
The Lord is good.
Okoye grew up in a small village but spent his 20s as a businessman in Lagos, Africa's largest city. But he said he felt lost. He turned to his religious roots and was ordained as a Pentecostal minister in his early 30s. In the late 90s, the church called him to move his family to Milwaukee to serve as a youth pastor. His decision to stay in Wisconsin was based, in part, on the state's motto.
I kind of look at the Wisconsin coat of arms. There's a sign on top of it. It says, "Forward." After I pray, I look at it. I decided that I'll stay in this state and move forward with this state.
In 2004, Okoye took over as Oak Hill's chaplain. I asked if he was nervous his first day.
Yes, I was nervous because the way we look at prisons from outside, there are criminals over there, they are aggressive, they're bad people. It's not necessarily that way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
yes. That our brother will die there and rise again. Yes. In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
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 Okay, come on in, brother.
At Oak Hill, he leads worship services, gives sermons, conducts baptisms. He also helps organize services for the many faith groups inside Oak Hill. Catholics, pagans, Protestants, Jews, Native Americans, and Muslims.
Our goal is just one, to help let the inmates understand what has transpired in their life, what brought them here, and how they can move forward and don't have to come back to prison. So we want to see people changed and move on with their lives.
He also meets one-on-one with inmates, a role that brings him face-to-face with a lot of guilt, grief, and despair.
Men do cry. Sometimes I have to wait. Even the Kleenex, maybe somebody's wife is having a baby, or the mom is in the hospital, or the dad, or somebody passed. Most of the time, it's the chaplain that breaks the news to them.
But the job has joyful moments. At a Christmas service last winter, I watched him clap hands and bump fists with inmates as they sang carols.
Hallelujah.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let it be hot.
I'm not a medical doctor or a cardiologist, but I say we work on people's heart. See, that's what we do. I feel fulfilled being part of somebody's journey. And it's a joyful thing to see them go home where there's no fence. That's a joyful thing.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more online at wisconsinlife.org.
We just heard about how Reverend Emmanuel Okoye tends to the spiritual needs of inmates who are currently serving their sentences. There are also pressing issues for those who are preparing to leave prison and to re-enter their communities. Joining us now is Jackie Austin. She's a program coordinator for Madison Area Urban Ministry and is involved in helping inmates transition back to life outside. Jackie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, for the Madison Area Urban Ministry, it's a priority to work with inmates and recently released prisoners. Why, as a network of faith, is that so important?
It's that most faith traditions share some belief in restorative justice, that when a person's debt to society is essentially paid, in our case through incarceration, at that point, according to statute, but also according to the beliefs of many faiths, the person is ready to re-enter society and at that point to do what they can from now forward to restore what they can of their own life and that of the community.
And what are some of the biggest fears and concerns that these inmates have as they contemplate returning home?
Well, we do a workshop in the prison with returning prisoners, in which they rehearse their own reentry plan. And quite frankly, it's very daunting. I would be somewhat frightened myself, even asking questions of people, where are you going to sleep your first night out of prison? Do you have family who will support you? Perhaps people have a debt, such as they owe traffic fines or fines on a driver's license, or they may owe child support. Do they have a job lined up? Even asking those questions makes people very apprehensive.
Now, you said you rehearse with them. What will happen when they get out of prison? What kind of rehearsal do you do, and how does that go over?
It goes over very well. What it is for us is a two-part workshop. We actually have a version that we do in the community and a different version we do in prisons. It takes place in two separate sessions. The first session is one where we talk about basic human needs and reentry needs, that you will need a place to live, you will need a source of income, you will need transportation, and so forth, and that you will have to follow whatever rules of community supervision you may have, etc. But we give the prisoners, it's entirely voluntary, and we give them a questionnaire, which they complete. We then take that with us, and based on that, we come back usually 2 weeks later and have a role play in a workshop where we are all together in a room, and we literally take the community into the prison. We take people with us who represent educational institutions, the job center, the parole office, perhaps a landlord, etc. And each person who has filled out the questionnaire is given a customized task list to visit various information or community tables that deal with the kinds of things they will need to do when they get out. So they get to sort of walk in their own shoes in a mock scenario in which we pretend they just got out of prison that morning, and they have a customized task list. Go renew your driver's license. Go cash your check, your release check. Arrange to make a child support payment, rent an apartment, and so on. And it actually gives people some confidence in their own plan and then shows them areas where they might still have to work. And in the process of doing this, we take real information, resource information, into the prison with us so that people will have information about the community services that will support them at the time they are released to the community.
And when they do make that transition, let's say they've gone through this program with you, they know what to expect, they have this checklist. Are you there for them afterwards as they encounter hurdles? I'm sure they do. Do they have that support once they are released to the outside world?
In the case of our agency, absolutely yes. We have a program called The Journey Home. We are based in Dane County, so we do focus on people coming to Dane County. But through our Journey Home program, we have monthly information fairs, we have staff on site who are community resource specialists, and we link people returning to the community to the existing services in the community. We also have volunteers who serve on circles of support, and these circles are based with four or five trained volunteers who meet once a week with a newly released person and work through very simple goal-oriented steps to help them stay focused on the things they need to accomplish. Similar programs do exist in other counties, and when we are working with people from different counties, we generally try to refer them to whatever services exist in the county to which they will return.
Now, are your services and the support that you offer, is that in any way linked to the prisoner's religious beliefs, or is this something that everyone partakes of regardless?
In our case, we are an interfaith ministry, and we welcome everyone regardless of their faith belief, or including people who do not have a particular faith home. So there is no proselytizing involved. However, we do discover, as I say, that people across many, many beliefs share the belief that people do deserve a second chance, or perhaps a third, fourth, and fifth chance, in order to really reestablish themselves. There are many barriers to return, and so we are not favoring a specific religion, and we welcome people of any faith or no faith to come to our door.
Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Jackie Austin. She's the program coordinator for Madison Area Urban Ministry.